Welcome to PRSA, the podcast of the Houston chapter of the Public Relations Society of America. On PRSA, we spotlight our talented members and get to know each other a little better. If you are a PRSA Houston chapter member and don't get a chance to network as much as you'd like or are unable to attend our in-person events, here's your chance to connect with your fellow members. Hello and welcome to PRSA. This is the podcast of the Houston chapter of the Public Relations Society of America. I'm your host, Veronica Sofer. So excited to be here with you. We love PRSA because it gives us an opportunity to connect with all of our members. It really gives you an opportunity to learn a little bit about them so that when we do connect in person, you've got a name with a face. So I've got another great guest this week who is going to be joining us. But before we get started, let's take care of some housekeeping. If you are listening on the podcast, make sure you hit subscribe. We don't want you to miss any episodes of PRSA. And if you are watching on Facebook or on YouTube, drop some comments because my guests and I will definitely circle back and connect with you. So we'll go ahead and get started and bring on our outstanding guest. We have Mr. John Sweeney joining us.
Hello, everyone.
So glad you are joining us. You're joining us from Brookwood's group, John, and I'm so excited. I don't think we've had an opportunity to meet, so this is a great conversation that I'm looking forward to.
I'm happy to be here. I'm a longtime PRSA member, maybe longer than I care to admit.
Ah, well, then you probably have some great stories to share later. We can talk offline. Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you to where you are right now in communications.
Well, I've always been interested in communications. I have some natural communications ability. And in my earliest career, I was a radio news anchor. Then the mayor of the city I was living in asked me to be his press secretary. And I did that for a short time. I managed to get out of political public relations before the indictments were handed up, which was a good thing.
Good for you.
And joined corporate PR. I worked for General Electric for a while and then later IBM and for the longest time Compaq. So I was a corporate PR person writing newsletters and press releases and articles for the company magazines and executive speeches and doing all the great things that corporate public relations people do. Also arguing with the press once in a while, but that part goes with the territory anyway. And I was at a PRSA luncheon back in 1989, living here in Houston. I was handling the public information officer for Metro, what we call Metro, the Harris County Transit Authority, and doing my good job to, you know, talk up the transit authority at the time. I was at a PRSA lunch and a young executive from Compaq was there at the table and we were just chatting. And I said, well, gee, do you hire former IBM people? Because I had been at IBM a very, very short time. And he said, oh yeah, we'll hire any crazy person. Well, that was the key word. And within 2 weeks, I found myself at Compaq fairly early on and the company was all less than 10 years old at the time. And I stayed there for about the next decade until one of the co-founders of Compaq, a guy named Rod Canyon, asked me and a handful of other people to go off and play .com with him. And that's exactly what we did until the .com bubble burst. And I found myself not working, but luckily, people who I knew hired me on to do marketing, communications, public relations, contracting. I was working under contract full time for Shell. And while I was at Shell, somebody called me up and said, hey, I need you over for a full time job over at what was Compaq still. And I said, well, I'm really busy myself, but I can get somebody I know to do that and I'll be responsible for it, but I won't be doing the work. And they said, fine, that's what we need. So I called up somebody I knew what I could pay. I had them doing that project. Somebody else from Compaq called up a couple of weeks later and said, hey, I need you to clone the person you sent here a couple of weeks ago, have them here. And by then I knew the right answer. I'd said, oh, sure, no problem. No problem at all. I hung up the phone. I thought, okay, now what do I do? Well, I figured it out and hired somebody who also I trusted. And before long, I had four employees who were working for me doing contract work at various companies. Mm-hmm. And I was still doing my full-time contract work And so what I had created without really intending to was a staffing firm.
Yeah.
And so we've been doing that now for about 24 years.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love you. It's almost like you fell into your business a little bit.
Totally fell into it. You just, you know, I did what I now preach to others to do, which is understand what your natural talents are, leverage those natural talents, and almost everything else will fall into place somehow or another. We encourage younger professionals and even seasoned professionals to do a test online and a book called Strengths Finder. You can find it on Amazon, Strengths Finder. Do the test. It identifies your top five natural talents from a profile of 34 natural talents that humans tend to have. And those are talents that are hardwired into you. So you either use them or you don't use them. You can't gain any more talents. You can't get rid of them. You can either use them or not. So the beauty that we talk about is, you know, use them, know what they are first. And second of all, actually use them in your career and in your personal life to decide how you spend your valuable time.
Yeah, that's really great advice. And I've actually done that assessment before, and it's very helpful. And I think
shockingly on target, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And it's interesting if you do it in one part in your career and then fast forward and do it again, maybe a decade or so later. And it's interesting to see how there have been a little bit of tweaking, if you will, or a little bit of movement. I mean, at your core, you're who you are, but sometimes it shifts a little bit. So that's really good advice. PR Say is brought to you by Veronica V. Soper Public Relations. We design and execute personal visibility strategies for businesses, organizations, authors, and entrepreneurs who are ready to uplevel their brands and leverage earned media to legitimize their place in the niche. Visit us at veronicavsoper.com or connect on LinkedIn. So give us some other golden nuggets of wisdom. What would you tell some of our younger PRSA members who are joining and attending some of our events?
Well, what I already relayed is that participating in PRSA makes a huge difference at any stage in your career, whether you're an old fogey like me, who is often looking for new professionals to help fill some sort of need that I have or my clients have, or whether you're younger and start trying to figure out exactly what you should do and where you should do it. It sounds like such a cliche, but keep doing something.
Yeah.
We all have colleagues in in PRSA and public relations in general, who practice this mantra of actually going out and doing things. They volunteer with stuff. They, do a podcast in their spare time. They, keep busy advancing the profession, advancing themselves, and building relationships that are genuine. Networking is not just showing up somewhere and handing out your business card.
That's right.
Networking is showing up somewhere, engaging in a genuine conversation with somebody about what's on their mind, what's important to them, what they need in their careers and in their lives, what you may need. And if there's some, genuine dialogue, hell, we're communicators. We should know how to carry on genuine dialogue and do a real conversation about what's going on. And that's what I encourage people to do. Get out there and join, not necessarily only PRSA. If you're a communicator, there's also what used to be called BMA, the IABC, and professional associations in your industry, the Staffing Association or the Pipeline Association. There are all these groups that are of interest to join. Mm-hmm. And as long as you have some valid reason, join them and participate.
No, that's great advice. And it's so true. And it's so interesting to see where people can connect the dots, because you might know someone in one space and may not necessarily need anything from them, or they need something from you in that moment. But a year or two later, you go, oh, I remember, John, we were talking about that. And so let me refer him to someone else. And when you bring value to folks, that's absolutely the best way to make a connection.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Yeah.
Sure
no, I is. Think that's really good advice.
And you don't have to make up something that's that's not genuine, right, in order to, you know, pretend to be adding value where you really can't.
Yeah.
There are things that everyone listening to this podcast does really, really well. In fact, going back to what we mentioned a minute ago, leveraging their natural talents. Mm-hmm. So there are things that they can do that leverage their natural talents that really allow them to add value to their community, to their profession, to their families, to their affinity groups. That's mm-hmm. my broad term for, you know, your churches, your car clubs, sure, your neighborhood associations, anything where you have something in common. You can add huge value to those as a communications professional. What I found is that if you get involved in any kind of affinity group, as soon as other members of the leadership of the group find that you can put two synapses together and communicate yeah. something clearly, they're going to want you as president.
Yeah.
Like, it's like
true.
That.
It's true. It's so true. I'm guilty. I mean, once the former cookie mom, I was in Girl Scouts as a Girl Scout mom. Once the former cookie mom figured out what I did for a living, she was like, "Oh, I've got a job for you next year." And I had cookies in my house for weeks on end every year.
Well, there's a flip side to that coin, because, you know, communications folks really are blessed with, most of us have a natural ability to communicate, mm-hmm. which also gives us a natural ability to a certain degree, lead teams, groups, or organizations as well. Because we can be so clear in what we see as the goal, the outcome, and the steps to get there. And mm-hmm. that comes natural to us. So the flip side of that coin includes my cousin replaced his driver's license in his wallet. That window, took out his driver's license and put in a little 2x3 card. And the 2x3 card said, where he would see it every day, "If you can't say no and mean it, then you can never say yes and sustain it."
Wow.
And what he was reminding himself of is that his time and your time and my time and anybody who's has the motivation to listen to this podcast, mm-hmm. Our time is valuable and we're in demand. And you have to say no to most of the things that come your way.
Yeah.
Because that way, when you do say yes, people know you actually have the bandwidth right. and the ability to follow through on it. There's nothing worse than taking on too much stuff because you're asked.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time decades ago when I was, you know, involved in a half a dozen boards of directors, a president of at least two of them. And there were my evenings gone, my weekends gone. I had a business to run. I had yeah. a dog that needed me. I had a family that needed me. You know, and other things that I enjoyed doing that I didn't have time to do. So I had to actually learn to say no in a nice way. And then for the things that I did say yes to, I could really follow through on them. That's
yeah.
a lesson that it takes a long time to learn sometimes.
Yeah. And some of us have to learn it the hard way. Cause as you were talking, yeah. I felt my, you know, some reaction to what you
yeah,
were saying.
Yeah. The hair on the back of your neck was going up. Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit, but that's really great advice. That's fantastic advice. So John, now that we've had a chance to get to know you a little bit better, how can folks connect with you? What's the best way to learn more about you and connect and stay in touch?
Right. Well, the beauty of doing what I do is that the best way for folks to connect with me is through my company, because I have a secret confession to make. You know, my secret of running a good business is to hire great people, give them clear goals and the tools that they need to meet those goals, and then stay out of their way.
There you go.
The last thing is the hardest part. It's hard to stay out of the way, but I do my best. And the people who are really of great to know in my company, it isn't me, because I'm not the one who is matching candidates to great jobs. We have great clients who have great opportunities, and we have great candidates that we've gotten to know over the last decades. And some folks are folks that we just come to know. And folks on my team are the ones who are doing that matchmaking. I either joke that depending on your own history and background, my folks are either Yentas or Yodas. It's one or the other. It's we're the matchmakers that sort of put it together. But it's but that doesn't go through my muddled brain. It goes through the great folks on my team who actually argue over who's the best fit. Should we submit this candidate or these candidates to our client? What kind of personality is our client? And is that somebody, or do we have people who will actually fit well into that work group? So all that debate goes on. So it's important for PRSA members to know what Brookwood's group is, to roll over to brookwoods.com at some point, subscribe to our newsletter that on a daily basis, any new job posting is, and all of our postings are real, any new job posting goes out overnight to everyone on the list. So at least you know what it is. And I don't expect people, everybody in town to subscribe to our list because they're looking for work. Most of our subscribers, most of the people who get our newsletters overnight, just want to know what we've posted because they may know somebody who would be great for that job. And half of them are still marketing and communications positions. Our clients have demanded that we take on other types of professional roles, engineering types and, you know, accounting types and other things. But it's really only because they like our technique and they want us to apply it to other professions. Mm-hmm. The bulk of our business is still PR and marketing and communications folks.
That's great. Well, John, we will definitely include the website and contact information in the show notes. It was so great to have you on the show.
Happy to be here. Have good luck to everyone and keep moving forward.
I love it. Thank you so much. Thanks so much, John. We will make sure that we include all that information. So be sure to follow, connect. PRSA is a fantastic way for you to network, grow your reach, and really tap into some fantastic leaders and experts in our space. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed connecting with John Sweeney. If you are listening on the podcast, hit subscribe. We don't want you to miss any episodes. And if you are watching on Facebook or YouTube, drop us some comments and John and I will follow up and connect with you. Thanks so much. See you next time.